Hare Krishna. So good morning, everyone. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you so much for the opportunity to share something. This is an extremely, extremely significant day, and I pray for the blessings of all the devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, senior Vaishnavas here, for your blessings. Today we are honoring the disappearance day of Rupa Goswami. This perhaps is one of the most important days in the Vaishnava calendar, because Rupa Goswami comes here to deliver something which is extraordinary. There are many, many lies that we find in the world we're living in today. Many, many lies. But there is one lie which has been going on since the beginning of creation. There is one lie that has taken root in every single nation, every single culture, every part of the geography of this world. There is one lie which every other lie in this world is built upon. There is one lie that even those who say they're not convinced of this lie still follow. And there is one lie which has been exposed again and again to be untrue, but we still keep accepting it. What is that lie? The lie that material things can make us happy. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki. The lie that material things can make me happy. Ishvaro ham aham bhogi, siddho ham balavan sukhi. Everyone is going on under this conception, thinking if I get material sense gratification, I'll be happy. If somehow I can stimulate this material mind, then I'll be happy. If in some way I can massage my own ego, then that will be the fulfillment of my life. And therefore the world is going on this mad chase for material sense and mind and ego gratification, thinking that it will bring happiness, and it's all a lie. It's all a lie that everyone keeps falling for. And one may say, how is it that this lie has perpetuated for so long? How is it that even we as devotees fall prey to this lie, even when we hear it every single day that none of this will make you happy, still we fall prey to the lie that material things will make us happy? What is the reason? It's so deep, so deeply rooted. What is the reason that we can't overcome that? The reason is given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina raso varjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Krishna says, you may try to escape from this lie that material things don't make me happy and restrict yourself from the material things. But unless param drishtva nivartate, unless you experience something higher, you will not be able to stay away from this lie. This lie will again begin to pervade your life again and again and again. You can't give up the mundane rasa unless you have tasted the bhakti rasa. You can't give up mundane material rasa unless you've tasted prema rasa. Therefore, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita tells us, you need to experience rasa. So Krishna tells us, you need to experience rasa. And Krishna himself is the rasa raj, the rasika shekhar, the rasa bihari, the akila rasamrita murti. Krishna is raso vesaha. So Krishna comes and tells us, you have to connect with me. Otherwise, then Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna told us we have to experience rasa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and experienced that rasa himself. Prem ras nir yas kore ashvadhan, raga marga bhakti loke kore te pracharan. Mahaprabhu came and he tasted prema ras, relishing it. So Krishna told us, you need to experience prema ras. Mahaprabhu, what he did is he came and experienced that prema ras. But what Rupa Goswami did is Rupa Goswami made that prema ras accessible, achievable, attainable to every single person in this creation. Therefore, in one sense, one can say, who is more important, Krishna, Chaitanya, or Rupa Goswami? Because Rupa Goswami, who we gain access through to our teachers, is teaching us how to enter into that realm of Vrindavan where the highest rasa is going on. Here we are celebrating Julan Yatra, the beautiful swing pastimes of Krishna which take place in the rainy season in Vrindavan. How will we go there? How will we enter? How will we understand? How will we soften the heart in order to experience that divine mellow? That is where Rupa Goswami comes to help. Because if Krishna is the Rasa Raj, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Rasa Shraya, then Rupa Goswami is the Rasa Acharya. He's the one who comes to teach us how to actually experience that rasa. And so, this is a very, very important day because many teachers come to this world and expose that material sense gratification, material rasa won't make you happy. But simply to expose that material rasa won't make you happy is not enough. Because people will still keep gravitating towards material rasa unless they're able to experience the higher rasa. The speciality of Rupa Goswami is that he came to this world to make spiritual rasa available for everyone. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love was like a waterfall. One author says Mahaprabhu was like a golden volcano of divine love. So Mahaprabhu was like a waterfall. But can you take shower in a waterfall? Good luck. It's too intense, too powerful, too gushing. Therefore, it's said that the Goswamis took the waterfall-like love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and made it into an ocean. The bhakti rasamrita sindhu. Made it into an ocean so that anyone who desires so can jump into that ocean and experience what that love is. So, Rupa Goswami is so, so important for the devotees. And today I'm just going to share with you a few things about Rupa Goswami. Unfortunately, we have limited time, but let's see how far we go. And I'll try to share with you a little bit about what Rupa Goswami teaches us in essence. And I'll try to share with you something which I think many of you may or may not have seen before. But when you see this, you'll begin to understand why Rupa Goswami is such an incredible person, completely and utterly empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Rupa Goswami is the Rasacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered different of his associates in different ways. He empowered Haridas Thakur to become the Namacharya. He empowered Jiva Goswami to be the Tattva Acharya. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Rupa Goswami with the deepest insights into rasa. And therefore he became the initiator of rasa theology. Even today, in the modern day, scholars have done research and PhD theses on Rupa Goswami's rasa theology. And therefore, if you want to sum up what rasa theology is, you could sum it up in this one line. The taster tastes the taste because of good taste. This is basically rasa theology. That the taster is the devotee. The taste is bhakti ras. The object of that taste is Krishna, who's rasa raj. But you can only taste that beautiful taste of Krishna if you become a rasika bhakta. Therefore, what does Bhagavatam say? Muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavuka. Who can taste Bhagavatam? Only one who is a rasika, one who has refined taste, one who has become a connoisseur of devotion, one who has purified their heart and mind in such a way that there is no block for their senses to actually drink what is available in the beauty of Krishna and the beauty of bhakti. So therefore, the taster tastes the taste because of good taste. And therefore, what Rupa Goswami is basically doing is he's teaching the world how to become someone of good taste, how to actually become a rasika bhakta. Otherwise, we will have access to everything, but we will not be able to taste anything. Isn't it? Sometimes people say, I'm chanting so many years, but I don't feel anything, because you don't have good taste. I'm reading Bhagavatam, but I'm falling asleep, because we don't have good taste. I come and I see the deities, but I don't feel anything, because you don't have good taste. You have to become someone of good taste. You have to become a rasika. Only a rasika can relish rasa and thereby enter into the mysteries of the rasaraj Krishna, who has so much to offer our hearts. And so, basically, Rupa Goswami, what he explains is, where do we go to experience rasa? His Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu begins with the verse, Akila Rasamrita Murti, that Krishna is the unlimited form of rasa. Akila Rasamrita Murti. And therefore, the first and foremost thing is that if you go anywhere, anywhere but Krishna, you will be frustrated. Only when you go to Krishna will your taste for rasa be completely satisfied. And so the first thing that Rupa Goswami does is direct our attention towards where is the object. If you do anything in your life and Krishna is not involved, it will not bring you any rasa. It will not bring you any rasa whatsoever. Therefore, yena tena prakarena mana Krishna nivesha yet. Somehow or other, in every activity, try to factor Krishna into the equation. Karma na manasa gira nikalashya pyavastasu. If your words, your activities, your mind, all things are connected with Krishna, then you have a chance. Otherwise, life will be dry, very dry. So the first thing Rupa Goswami explains is, where should you go for rasa? Who can experience rasa? One who is a rasika. And therefore, what Rupa Goswami begins to do in this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is give you all the practices, all the tools, all the insights, all the special secrets, all the different items of things that you can do that will help you transform your consciousness so you can become someone of good taste. And so he explains the 64 items of devotional service that awaken the natural taste that is within us. And then Rupa Goswami, he doesn't just explain who is the object of rasa. He doesn't just explain how you become a rasika, able to experience that rasa, but then what he goes on to do is give you a detailed breakdown of what that rasa experience is like. How that rasa is like an ocean, and what are the different components of rasa, anubhav, vibhav, sthayi bhav, vyabhicharini bhav, all these incredible insights of how the mind of a devotee is being churned, and the heart of a devotee is being churned, and how these transformations are going on within the devotee. So this is basically what Rupa Goswami is coming to give. He's coming to give the one thing that will release everyone from the world, the opportunity to taste rasa. Because raso varajam raso pyasya param drishva nivartate. Unless we can only go so long on determination. We can only go so long on knowledge. We can only go so long on duty. We can only go so long knowing that this is the right thing to do. But if we don't experience rasa, we are on a very unstable platform. Very easily we will then, if we don't experience spiritual rasa, be drawn into again material sense gratification in some form or another. So Rupa Goswami, he actually has three meetings with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does anyone know the three places in which Rupa Goswami meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Anyone? Prayag is one. Ramakeli is another. And the third place where he meets for the longest time Mahaprabhu? Jagannath Puri. Yes, first meeting with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Rupa and Sanatan. They are at Ramakeli. They have never met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at least physically, but they have only heard of him. They have only had dreams, only dreams of Mahaprabhu. They had dreams of Mahaprabhu. They wrote letters to Mahaprabhu. This is the power of Shabda Brahman. Even Rukmini never met Krishna, but she had heard from Narad Muni and the great sages who were visiting the palace court. She became completely attached. So Rupa and Sanatan, they were in Ramkeli. Physically, they had never met Mahaprabhu, but their heart was dying to meet Mahaprabhu. They had created Gupta Vrindavan in Ramakeli. It was like a replica of Vrindavan there, Radha Kund, Sham Kund. Here, Sanatan Goswami was discussing Bhagavatam with the court pundits. And in this way, they were completely absorbed. They wrote letters to Mahaprabhu. We want to come and we want to join you. And Mahaprabhu wrote letters back. Paravyasinini nari vyagrapi grihakarmashu tadeva svadayatyantar navasangarasayanam. Mahaprabhu sent letters back to them. Just as a young girl who is married but who has a paramour lover, just as she is always longing for her lover, but she continues at home doing her duties very, very carefully, so that no one will suspect that she's given her heart to someone else. This is what you should do. I know you want to come and join me. I know you want to be with me. In time, everything will happen. But for now, you do your duty in Ramakeli. And then finally, Mahaprabhu said, I want to go to Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu was here. Mahaprabhu was in Puri. And he said, I want to go to Vrindavan. And Ramakeli is here. So when you want to go from here to here, you go like this. Mahaprabhu says, I want to go Vrindavan, but I'm going to go via Ramakeli. Completely out of the way. Because actually what Mahaprabhu wanted to do is he wanted to meet Rupa and Sanatan. So the first meeting, Mahaprabhu arrived in Ramakeli. And when Rupa Goswami saw Mahaprabhu, he just expressed his heart of humility. Matsamo nasti papatma naparadi chakaschana parihare pilajame kimbruve purushottama. Rupa Goswami says, naparadi, you will not find an offender anywhere like me. Parihare pilajame, I've committed so many sins. Mahaprabhu, I come before you with nothing. Please accept me as your servant. With straw between his teeth, they bowed down. Mahaprabhu came and Mahaprabhu embraced them. And he said, you are my eternal servants. And Rupa Goswami was just so overwhelmed. This whole meeting in Ramakeli, you just see the deep humility of Rupa and Sanatan. Humility is the foundation of our relationship with the Lord. Humility means, if you look at the expressions of Rupa Goswami, his conclusion is, I am not the doer. I am in no way deserving. And I am completely a das. This is humility. If you look at everything Rupa Goswami says to Mahaprabhu, it can be summarized in these three things. I am a das, I am not deserving, and I am never the doer. The moment we think we're the master instead of being the servant, we're blocked. The moment we think in bhakti, I'm deserving, I should, I have an expectation, Krishna must, no, then you are blocked. And the moment we think I am the doer, then blocked. Therefore, Rupa Goswami opened up all channels to receive the mercy because of his incredible humility. His humility was so deep. Mahaprabhu, he gave Rupa and Sanatan their names in Ramakeli. Aje hoite dunhar naam Rupa Sanatan. Denya chadi tomar denya fate moraman. Kaviraj Goswami, he's narrating. Aje hoite dunhar naam. Mahaprabhu looked at Rupa and Sanatan. He said, from this day on, Rupa Sanatan, you will be known as Rupa and Sanatan. And then what did he do? He looked at Rupa and he said, denya chadi, give up your humility. Tomar denya, because your humility, fate mora man, is breaking my heart. Can you imagine coming in front of someone who has such deep humility that it breaks your heart? Mahaprabhu said, your fate mora man, your humility is breaking my heart. So this first meeting of Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami is very deep because it establishes the foundation of humility, which qualifies Rupa Goswami to do everything he then goes on to do. The next meeting Rupa Goswami has with Mahaprabhu is at Dashashvamedha Ghat Prayag. When Mahaprabhu goes to Vrindavan, then Mahaprabhu is coming back to Puri. But on the way he stops. He stops at Prayag, Allahabad, where Kumbh Mela takes place. And there at Dashashvamedha Ghat for 10 days, Rupa Goswami is instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Rupa Goswami sees Mahaprabhu in the distance, he comes and he says the famous prayer, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvise Namaha. This is very, very deep prayer. We could spend hours just talking about this prayer in which Mahaprabhu's internal and external reason is fully revealed. Rupa Goswami just captured the whole identity of Mahaprabhu in this one verse, which then became famed for generations. And then Mahaprabhu, he just began teaching Rupa Goswami everything. Bhakti tattva, Krishna tattva, rasa tattva, pranta, sabar sikaila, Prabhu Bhagavat Siddhanta. What did he teach Rupa? Krishna tattva, all the truths about Krishna. Bhakti tattva, all the truths about bhakti. Rasa tattva, all the truths about rasa. Sabar sikaila Prabhu, he taught him everything. Bhagavad Siddhanta and all the ultimate jewel-like, crest-like conclusions of the Bhagavad. So basically, Rupa Goswami just received all this education, all this training, all this incredible Divya Gyan from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, Mahaprabhu then told him, go to Vrindavan. So then Rupa Goswami went to Vrindavan, but he could only stay there for 1 month. He said, I want to see Mahaprabhu again. I only got 10 days with him. So then Rupa Goswami went to Jagannath Puri. And there in Jagannath Puri, Rupa Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spent 10 months with him. In Prayag, he spent 10 days with him. But in Jagannath Puri, he spent 10 months with him. And in Jagannath Puri, Rupa Goswami was now writing. He was writing dramas, Vidagdha Madhav, Lalita Madhav. He was writing all these incredible verses. And now in Jagannath Puri, the empowerment of Rupa Goswami began coming out. He began writing these verses which were blowing everyone's mind. He wrote one verse. Tunde tan divini ratim vitanute tundavali labdhaye karna krodha kadambini ghatayate karna budebhya spriham cheta prangini sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyad biramrite krishne divarnadvayi. Mahaprabhu saw this verse, he fainted. What does the verse say? Rupa says, I do not know how much nectar there is in the two syllables Krishna. When I chant these two syllables, I desire thousands of ears. I desire thousands of mouths. When these two syllables enter into the courtyard of my heart, they conquer my mind and render every single one of my senses completely inert. Wow. So Mahaprabhu looks at this, these verses that Rupa Goswami is composing, and he just looks at all the Vaishnavas and he says, look at him. How could he understand these things? How could he describe rasa in such a beautiful way? Mahaprabhu looks at Ramananda Rai and he says, look what Rupa Goswami is writing. Ramananda Rai says, even my mind is blown. I mean, this is Ramananda Rai. He is also not a lightweight. Ramananda Rai is like the one who's telling Mahaprabhu the deepest secrets. And even Ramananda Rai is looking at Rupa's writing and he's saying, how did he become empowered like this? Ramananda Rai says, Tomar shakti jiver vina nahi ayanuman. He says, without being empowered by you, no one can write like this. And therefore, what we're seeing in Jagannath Puri is Rupa Goswami's incredible empowerment. So, if you look at Rupa Goswami's journey, you could also see it like this. That in his first meeting, what was incredibly prevalent is the humility of Rupa Goswami. What was prevalent in the second meeting was Rupa Goswami's incredible gift that he received so much transcendental knowledge and transcendental education from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in his third meeting with Mahaprabhu, what became extremely evident was his empowerment in spiritual life. And this is basically the journey we go on. First, if we're able to come in a humble mood, otherwise so many years in devotional service, but if we don't become humble, then the mercy flow will not be there. So Rupa Goswami's incredible humility was the foundation, and then he grasped all the teachings. Because his heart had become humble, then the teachings of Mahaprabhu could go into a deeper space within his heart. And then as he wrote and followed the instructions of Mahaprabhu, then all this incredible empowerment was coming. Empowerment to understand the Lord's mind and incredible empowerment to taste and express what rasa actually is. We only have some more time left, but I just want to share with you something which gives you maybe a taste of how empowered Rupa Goswami was by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a writer. This is the writing of Sanatan Goswami, the original writing. One day when Mahaprabhu was in Puri and he saw the writing of Mahaprabhu, he said his writing is like rows of pearls. So Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they were writing so much. So here you see in the Vrindavan Research Institute, there is still the original palm leaves of the Goswami's writings. This is Jiva Goswami's Tika in Sanskrit. This is his original writing. But just to share with you how empowered Rupa Goswami's writing was, I want to share with you something he wrote from the Stava Mala, known as Chitra Kavitvani. I don't know, has anyone heard of this? Okay, so many devotees have not heard of this. Now you will get an insight into how amazing Rupa Goswami was. I'll share with you some of his writing from Chitra Kavitvani. Chitra has a double meaning. Chitra means picture. But Chitra also means amazing, extraordinary, wondrous, out of this world. Kavi means poetry. So Chitra Kavitvani are 12 verses within the Stava Mala of Rupa Goswami, which are incredibly deep, filled with rasa, and have a type of poetry that will blow your mind. Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, what is the use of a bowman's arrow or the words of a poet if they penetrate the heart but they don't cause the mind to and the heart to spin? Poetry shouldn't just penetrate the heart, but it should cause your mind to spin. Right? This is a real poet. This is a real kavi. I'm going to show you some of these verses and you're going to see how amazing Rupa Goswami is. Okay? The first thing is Rupa Goswami is the Rasacharya. We said that, isn't it? So what Rupa Goswami does in Chitra Kavitvani is he writes a verse all about rasa. But you know what he does? He only uses two syllables. Ra, sa. The whole verse is about the truth of the rasa dance. The whole verse is bringing out the beauty of the rasa dance. And what Rupa Goswami does is he only uses two syllables. Ra, sa. Want to see it? Rasa sara susarorur asurare sasarasaha samsara se raso rase suriram susasarasaha. Amazing, isn't it? Filled with transcendental amorous desire, the son of Nanda, who showers forth nectar, whose thighs are strong, who is the enemy of the demons, and who is the sword that cuts down the cycle of repeated birth and death, entered the rasa dance holding a lotus flower. Just look at the genius. Who can do this? Is this just material ability? This is transcendental empowerment. Rupa Goswami goes on in Chitra Kavitvani not just to describe the rasa dance, but he describes the character of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna. And then what he does is he writes a verse about Krishna, who's a thief. Krishna is a thief. He steals the butter, he steals the clothes of the gopis, he steals the minds of all the residents of Braj, and he steals the hearts of every living entity who wants to be a prisoner of love. And therefore Krishna is a thief. And Rupa Goswami, he writes all about Krishna as a thief. In Sanskrit, we know Krishna, thief means chor, makan chor. So he writes all about Krishna as a thief, but he only uses two consonants. You know, you used to have those, she sells seashells by the seashore. Yeah, that's nothing compared to this. This is tough. Charchoru rochiru chora ruchiro ramcharachare chora charo chira chiram ruchacharu rachucharat. Acting like a thief. The broad-chested son of Nanda, the most handsome person in the world, quickly stole the gopis' garments. He was attractive because of his splendor, and his beauty was enhanced by the sandal paste adorning him. This is a kavi. but it goes further. It goes further. Now, Rupa Goswami in Chitra Kavitvani, he writes a one-consonant verse. A one-consonant verse that glorifies what Brahma does after he's stolen the cowherd boys and is repenting for Krishna's forgiveness. Are you ready for this one? Ninu nano nanam nunam nanu nano nano nuni nane nam ninu nenam nanam nana nano nanu. Anyone have a go? Ninu nanam, sorry. Ninu nano nanam nunam nanu nana nano nuni. Na ne na nam ninum ne nam na no na 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 no na nu. If you do it a few times, it puts you into a trance. Did not the many-headed Lord Brahma, who impels the various demigods, offer prayers with tears streaming down his face, trying to pacify Lord Krishna, the killer of Shakatasura? Just see the poetry. Just see the incredible tattva. Just see the rasa coming out. This is not ordinary. But it goes further. Now, Rupa Goswami is going to do picture poetry. He's going to do a verse which fits in a picture. This is amazing. Ganda Krishna Gurun Madali Nivane Hara prabhati plutam sapushnantam upashkrita dhaniyani vichi shriyo ramjakam sadhyastungita vibhramam sunibrite sitanale sokhyade devam nagabajam sadarasamayam tam naumikam chinmude. So here, this is another glorification of Rupa Goswami in a secluded forest which attracts swarms of maddened bees with its fragrance, which contains many decorated paths and which gives pleasure with its cool breezes. I always glorify a certain Lord in order to attain spiritual bliss. That rasa-laden Lord, the maintainer of his devotees, is flooded with the splendor of many necklaces. His arms are like snakes. He immediately increases the agitation within the heart, and he tinges the luster of Yamuna's waves with the luster of his nails, lips, necklaces, bracelets, and crowns. Now you may not, when you read this verse, you may think, okay, it's a nice verse. What's so amazing about that though? It is amazing, because this verse fits into a wheel formation. See this? Well, you can't see it fully, but the first line goes from here to here. This is the first line. From there to there. The second line goes from there to there. The third line goes from there to there. And the fourth line goes all the way around. And the most amazing thing is that these, all of these letters meet. Don't try this at home. How do you do that? The middle consonant, the middle letter of every single line is the same. Not only does it fit, it delivers the highest tattva, and not only that, it expresses the most sweet rasa. How is it possible? Tomar Shakti Jiver Nahi. Without Shakti, it's not possible. But shall I show you something even more amazing about this? When the teachers looked at this verse, they were thinking, this is amazing. And as they saw it more, they said, oh my God, there's something even more amazing in this. And you know what Rupa does? He writes a secret signature within the wheel formation verse, signing off the poem. So what he does is he writes, Krishna stuti raso rupa vira chita. This prayer to Krishna was composed by Rupa. So when you go back here, you can see here, Krishna stuti, you see, all the way. Sorry, my, you quite spit. Anyway, it's there. When we read Chaitanya Charitamrita and we're hearing about the empowerment of Rupa Goswami, it's not just flowery words. This is real. This is the Shastra. This is what he wrote down. Okay, I'm going to show you one verse. I'm running out of time. I'm going to show you one verse. There's something amazing about this verse. See if you can spot what it is. But if you can, don't say anything. Just put your hand up. Okay, ready? What's so amazing about this verse? Can you see the two lines? There's something incredible about this verse. Yeah, Peter? You can read it backwards and forward. The second line is a reverse of the first line. See? Ha, ha. Ri, ri. See? Can you see? Ha, ha. Ri, ri. Da, da. Ma, ma. Da, da. The second line is a reversal of the first line. This is called dual direction. Apparently, Gopi Paranadan Prabhu says there are Sanskrit books where when you read it forward is Krishna's pastimes, and when you read it backwards, it's Ram's pastimes. Rupa Goswami writes a verse in which he flips the verse completely, perfectly. Not only does it make sense, but it delivers tattva and rasa. I'll give you another one. When was the last time you went to the Goshala and saw a cow passing urine? Very auspicious if you see. You've seen, isn't it? I'm sorry to get graphic here, but it's relevant. When a cow passes water, then when the water comes down, it trickles, isn't it? Does it trickle in a straight line? Generally not. It trickles like this, isn't it? So Rupa Goswami, he writes a verse which is the cow urine formation. Want to see that one? Samalla rangera mesta fulasara mudedita shramanira dhara tushta balavira sadevata. How? How is this cow urine formation? Because if you look at the first and second lines, then every other syllable is the same. So, see this? You read it like this. And in that way, it's the cow urine formation. Incredible. Okay, I'll just do one more. Sarvato bhadra. Sarva means all. Sarvato bhadra means auspiciousness in all directions. Auspiciousness in all directions. Why? Why is this auspiciousness in all directions? Rasa vaha havasara salala sa salalasa balarama maralava hasamadatamasaha. Why is this sarvato bhadra? Before I tell you, this is the translation. Filled with amorous desire and the wildness of youth and his smile making Kamadev insignificant, the best of heroes shone with great splendor as he ardently enjoyed the rasa dance. Why is it sarvato bhadra? Have a look at this. Remember, sarvato bhadra, auspicious in all directions. Because this verse fits together like a grid. And you can read it in all directions. See this first line? Rasa vaha havasara. But not just that, you can read it back. Rasa vaha havasara. Or you can read it down like this. Or you could read it up like that. Or you could read it that way. Or you could read it this way. Or you could read it this way. Or you could read it this way. Every line of the verse, you can read it like that. Now, I'm not going to do it today, but if you split this square up into four, so you'd know like that, then even more incredible things begin happening. But that is for another day. So, this is Sarvato Bhadra, auspiciousness in all directions. Who can do? Who can do? Rupa Goswami can do. Because Rupa Goswami was a mastermind of bhakti. He had not just mastered his own mind, but he had fully understood the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because he had understood the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had become completely empowered. And because he had become completely empowered, he could write books, he could establish temples, and he could deliver to us something which can get us out of this world. And that one thing which he delivered to us was rasa, and the opportunity to experience rasa. So Srila Prabhupada, he just went. In 1954, Prabhupada took Vanaprast. In 1956, he went to Vrindavan and he began staying at Vamsi Gopal Temple. And then in 1959, he took sannyas and he just stayed at Radha Damodar Temple for 6 years. And there he just prayed to Rupa Goswami. Praying, meditating, beseeching Rupa Goswami for his mercy and empowerment. So just as Srila Prabhupada prayed to Rupa Goswami for the empowerment to follow the instructions of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on this day, Rupa Goswami's disappearance, we can also take some moments to pray to Rupa Goswami for his empowerment so that we can follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, who really wanted us to become pure devotees, and not just that, to give the whole world an opportunity to become recipients of the greatest gift in the world, which is rasa, bhakti rasa, prema rasa. And so on this day, we're praying to Rupa Goswami as the rasacharya, that we can draw all of that empowerment and fulfill the orders of the spiritual master. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Rupa Goswami Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande. It's 9 o'clock and it's a busy day. Hare Krishna, Om Tat Sat. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.